My mom says I could train again.
She did?
Yeah. I mean, if we still have the dojo.
We do for now. All right, but I need to know, are you ready to take things to the next level?
Yes, Sensei.
And you got your ass kicked because you didn't have any defense. So I'm going to teach you the best defense that you can know. And the best defense... Hey! ...is more offense.
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
I'm Richard.
And I'm Rima.
And this is House Podcastica Cobra Kai edition.
Yay! This week we're covering Cobra Kai Season 1, Episodes 3 and 4.
Before we get started, I just wanted to ask Rima, how's your Krav Maga doing? Do you mind talking about that on the podcast, or would you rather not?
No, I don't mind talking about it. I just don't like talking about me very much. That's why I never really talk about it, because it's about me. But
okay,
yeah,
we
don't
have
care.
To.
You have
so,
questions? I'm no, I don't care if you have a question.
No, I'm just curious how it's going. Are you enjoying it and everything?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot more now that we're back in class. We were doing virtual for a really long time.
Yeah.
I did not enjoy that, because so much of what we do is hand to hand, and you know, it's, you know, sparring with each other, and so that it just wasn't as fun. So yeah, I'm definitely enjoying being back in the class and getting to do some of the things. And we were supposed to have ranked up to our next level about 2 weeks before the gyms had to close. So we went all this time, and we're just kind of like in this limbo. We're still practicing and still doing things, but we couldn't level up. And so we were able to do that a couple weeks ago. So now we're, you know, learning the next next level, learning new things and more advanced things. And so, yeah, I love it. I love kicking the shit out of things. So
do you think if somebody came up behind you and grabbed you or something, you would know what to do?
Yeah.
Cool.
I'd hurt him really bad.
What belt are you?
You'd hurt him really bad. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. I have a green belt right now. Yeah.
Nice. That stuff is for reals. We have a really good friend, Spencer, who's into Aikido.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was for a long time. I don't know if he still does it, but I was always skeptical because he's kind of a braggart. You know, he talks a lot about himself. Mm. So, and one day I did that. I came up behind him without even telling him. I tackled him, and next thing I know, I was in some sort of hold on the ground and in a lot of pain.
He'll demonstrate, though, so you can tell he...
That's
He's got
funny.
Something to back up his bravado, at least as far as that goes.
Yeah.
I took karate as a kid, but I've forgotten most
you
of
were
it.
The karate
I think.
Kid.
I don't know. I've never really gotten in a fight since I took karate. But Rich, have you ever taken anything like that?
No. I wanted to do Aikido because of Spencer, but I was too lazy. Yeah. Really, that's what it boiled down to.
Yeah. It's fun. And Krav has parts of it, because it's a mixture. It's not, you know, like karate or, you know, a very specific discipline. It pulls from other disciplines. Like there's wrestling and boxing, Aikido, judo. And
is it influenced, or did it influence Ultimate Fighting? Or is that, I guess, I mean, Ultimate Fighting, my impression was they could do anything, any style they wanted, but it ended up gravitating towards grappling because that was the most effective way to get someone to give up.
Yeah. Well, and you don't see any MMA fighters that practice Krav. You don't see Krav fighters in MMA.
Because you're really trying to hurt somebody.
Well,
huh?
Like your main targets people. Your main targets in Krav are like the eyes and the groin. And in MMA, that's frowned
upon.
Those
are off limits.
Yeah. I mean, you can do it, but it's considered like a cheap shot, and it's not, you know... You just kind of look down upon when you do stuff like that. It's not, and MMA is a sport. Krav is not a sport. So there's big differences, and it's very,
that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very efficient. It's very quick. And your whole point is it's for real life situations. Like if you get attacked on the street, you know, how to defend yourself in a dark alley or in a parking lot surrounded by cars or in, you know, a closed a small room or something like confined space. Also, multiple people, if they attack you, you learn how to defend yourself against multiple attackers. With MMA, you know, you can learn about that fighter. You can study other, you can study their fights and how they fight. And, you know about them. When you're on the street, you don't know your attacker and you don't know what they're going to do. So you have to kind of, you have to be very aware of your situation and kind of be prepared for anything and everything. And you also, the purpose of Krav is to take your attacker down very quickly. So you hurt and maim very quickly and, and get out. So.
Right. That's the whole point, huh, is to get away.
Yes.
My son is, he's 8 and he's been doing Kung Fu since he was 5. And I've always loved Kung Fu, especially since I saw The Matrix. It just looks so beautiful.
It is.
But I sometimes feel like it's more, you know, it's just to get him some exercise and some confidence and to get him more in his body and to feel his body. He looks great when he does it, but I just don't know how practical it would be in an actual fight. And so, listeners, I wonder if some of you have gravitated towards this podcast because we're covering something with martial arts. So I'd actually love it if you would write in and let me know your thoughts on that, whether you think more traditional fighting styles like karate and kung fu are actually useful on the street and stuff like that. Love to hear people's perspective on it.
I think they can be. It still teaches you self-defense.
Someone got attacked in school and he kind of just froze up, ended up on the ground.
Well, that's most likely what I'm going to do if someone attacks me, despite my training. Is what I'd like to think I can react, but it's, you know, and he's only 8.
He told his teacher, and his teacher was like, all right, next time, give him a sidekick. And so just kind of told him what to do.
Strike first, strike hard.
That's right.
No mercy.
No mercy.
That's what you got to tell him.
Yeah.
And then don't worry about defense. You need more offense.
Right. Well, since we're getting into the karate talk, let's get into this week's couple of episodes. It's our top 3 highlights for Cobra Kai season 1 episodes 3 and 4. I don't really know how to say this, but Escalito. And Cobra Kai Never Dies.
You know what Escalito means?
Escalito.
The mosquito, right? No.
No.
Skeleton.
Yeah, skeleton.
Ah, skeleton, yeah.
Just fitting.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's good. Mosquito. Where does it come from?
It sounds kind of like it could be.
Squilito.
All right. What'd you guys think?
I liked them. Like both episodes. Thought there was good stuff. Got to meet some new characters. Got to learn a little bit more about Johnny's life. So good throwbacks.
Yeah. They're digging into the characters a little more, huh? Mm-hmm. You got Daniel and Johnny, I kind of feel like this is the episode 4. It's kind of like where they started switching, you know, where you're like, maybe Johnny's not a horrible guy. And then, you know, Daniel's life isn't perfect. He's kind of a little bit of a dick sometimes, you know. I feel like it's starting to turn a little bit, yeah, after these first 4 episodes. And then you got Miguel, too. So we're getting more into Miguel's life there, which is pretty cool. Sort of. It's a little scary, actually. Like, which way is Miguel's going to go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Miguel seems like such a good kid. And yeah, we're learning that Johnny has some really kind of heartfelt good impulses in there, but they're filtered through his not having had a good role models and his, you know, adherence to these aggressive Cobra Kai teachings. So you wonder how Miguel's going to turn out. Yeah, I agree. I think it's great that they showed you're getting even more sympathetic with Johnny and that Daniel's showing some of his flaws. And I think that's where this series did something really cool, kind of putting him on an even playing field.
Yeah. Life is complicated.
I can't wait to hear what Steve Brown says. He's got another call in. And, you know, that first call, he was like, I don't know who to root for.
Well, I think that's good. It makes it interesting. That's a black and white.
Yeah, but he didn't seem to like that idea.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into our top 3. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. So my 3rd is there is a lot of dick jokes. in these two episodes. Well, a couple in episode three, but mostly in episode four. There's a lot of talk about dicks. I started noticing it. And I was like, wow, there's like a... Just, it reminded me of the 80s, actually. I used to do a lot of dick jokes myself back in the 80s.
Same.
Because I was a teenager.
Yep. We used to call you Big Dick.
Yeah, that's right. They used to call me Big Dick in high school.
What's up, Big Dick?
Hey, what's up? What's up, Bro-Ham? So we got, in episode three, this cracked us up. Mom was listening outside Miguel's room while he was practicing his karate.
Oh,
she's
gosh.
Thinking to herself, oh, he's jerking off again, yeah.
That was hilarious.
and then she gave that deadpan look when his hand was injured at the table. She's like, yeah, I told you, he's jerking off. And then
you don't want to know how he got that.
Right,
and I love her, because then she also, like, when, you know, his mom was all worried because he came home with, like, his bruised ribs or whatever, and she's just like, he just needs more lessons.
Yeah, right.
That was
fun. Hey, she was right. Keep your hands up.
Yeah, it was a fun way to have the grandma character to get in there and be kind of sassy about everything instead of being just your typical, like, worried grandma or something.
I thought she was a pretty cool grandma.
Yeah, she seemed to have a better grip on reality than mom, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And then Kyle's friend was talking about Kyle trying to get in with Samantha. He's like, you had her in the palm of your dick, man. Then, of course, in episode four, had the big dick in Daniel's mouth on the billboard. His wife and Daniel are talking about it. What's positive? I have a dick in my mouth. And his wife is like, yeah, and you'll blow the competition away.
Yeah. And she's like, no one will ever see it. And he's like, well, we put it there because it was high traffic. Well, they'll only notice the dick because it's so prominent. They won't even see you. He's like, we're going to paint over this. And she's like, yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Daniel's wife says, it's the dick's billboard now. And then that was pretty funny. When he went to the car dealer, his competitor,
mm-hmm.
or the car dealer, sends him the sausages. And his wife is reading the... Who's reading the little note that's attached? Oh, you prefer your sausages long and thick.
And then Johnny, like, well, at least we have lunch.
When Johnny goes to confront his ex-wife in the bar, she's not going to go down on you unless you buy her dessert. Then at the end of the scene, Johnny's ex-wife's date was like, hey, I hear they make a fantastic apple granada.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
She kind of made a face.
I love how Johnny also says, what did he say? You know, trying to scam lunch from this nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Talking about internal audits.
Right.
And then the last one I had written was, Tom Cole. He was he's Daniel's main competitor.
Adversary.
Yeah. After offering him boba tea when Daniel went down to his dealership. I guess you must be full after eating all that dick.
that was funny.
And then he kicks the boba tea out of his hand.
What a boba. Angela, get him a boba.
I mean, the guy dissed Daniel for giving away bonsai trees that are not American or something. And then he's giving away boba teas. Come on.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Daniel had that stupid smug look on his face afterwards.
That's very satisfying.
Yeah, I still got it.
That goes into my number three, which is pretty much the same thing that these episodes had a lot of kind of, especially compared to the movies, like crass, sort of edgy jokes, which I thought are great. And
yeah,
it's interesting. You know, it's a risky move to have a show come out about Karate Kid and make it more crass like that. I think it makes it feel more updated and maybe a little less wide-eyed and naive than the original movies, but it still has heart to it and a groundedness. So it didn't like totally erase that, but it just moves it more in that direction. And it plays to the writer's strengths because they're the Harold and Kumar guys. And I think the writer for one of these episodes wrote some episodes of The Office and other comedies like that. So,
cool.
Yeah, I think it works really well. So I have a few other ones. Let's see. You're right. All these dick jokes. I didn't realize that was such a huge theme. But also,
Huge.
Let's see. Daniel says his two coworkers, his cousin and his other coworker, are trying to give him advice on what to do about Sam. And he's like, I appreciate the parental advice, but I don't think threatening a teenager is the go-to move here. And they're like, exactly. You're going to drive Sam right into this guy's arms. Trust me. I date girls with daddy issues. They're the worst and the best. And then they're like, you're going to turn her into a porn star. You know, we're only 5 minutes from Vixen Video. And the other guy, where's Vixen Video? Oh, it's on such and such. He's like, guys, it's my daughter we're talking about here. Or let's see, the teacher is talking about bullying the guidance counselor. And she's like, I don't want to name any names, but there, a parent told me her son was crying over kids making fun of his facial deformity.
Right, yeah.
And the kid with the only kid with the facial deformity is sitting there like, oh, thanks.
All right. Teachers say stuff like that all the time.
That was hilarious. Johnny hires this homeless woman. Was it the same one that stole his pizza from the first or second episode? Yeah.
It looked like it, yeah.
And say, like, spin this sign around and you'll get your money. She's all, I want meth and a burrito.
And she's like, I'm not showing you my bits. It's like, nobody wants to see your bits.
Right, right. Or she said, do you want me to? You want me to show my bits?
You can spend your money however you want. That's how it works.
Yeah, right. And then let's see, Johnny, you know, that whole scene where he ties Miguel's hands up and pushes him into the pool, and then he pulls him out by his hair and he goes, drowning is for pussies, don't be a pussy, use your legs.
Yeah.
Throws him back in. When Miguel says, you don't know him, Mom, and she goes like, I know he's a loser, and he's like, he's not a loser. If you knew him, you'd see he's a great man. And then you cut to him passed out on the floor with spilled beer next to him.
And a spray funny. Paint can.
And I love that Miguel, just whatever Johnny does, he seems to admire him, you know. And I'm like, kind of like, well, maybe if for a young kid like that, if he might look up to someone who is even less PC, you know, I think some kids would be more judgmental about it these days, but other kids might be like, wow, this is great. This guy says whatever he wants. I don't know. What do you think, Rich?
Yeah, no, kids like that. especially kids with single parents. They're just enamored and fascinated by this other adult who acts completely different than the one adult you know, you know?
Yeah.
I even get kids that sometimes accidentally call me dad. It's kind of That's embarrassing nice. And awkward, and it's like, oh, yeah. I'm not your dad.
So the way that it's a little more edgy and I guess crass, I mean, crass makes it sound like I don't approve, but I like it. But anyway, it reminds me of Leave It to Beaver, which I used to like to watch reruns of. And then in the '80s, they did the new Leave It to Beaver, where Beaver was all grown up and he's divorced, and Eddie Haskell has sent his son to military school, and it's just, you know, kind of a more like cynical but funny view on everything. Kind of reminds me of that. Let's see. There's a couple more. These aren't quite as edgy, but that the nerdy kid Dimitri is like, probably a good thing there's no more karate. It was starting to boost your confidence. What's wrong with that? Well, what has confidence gotten anybody except for a black eye and their backpack thrown in the trash, which then happens to him a couple minutes later.
Right.
And then I loved, there's two more I liked. When Johnny says, Rima, you mentioned this already, but you got your ass kicked because you didn't have any defense. And I'm thinking, okay, he learned to punch first, and now he's going to learn how to block, which is the reverse of how Daniel learned it. And then Johnny's all, and the best defense, hi, is more offense.
More offense.
And then when Johnny interrupts, he's trying to hustle for his Cobra Kai school, and he's at the high school, and he interrupts the couple making out, and he goes, hey guys, check out this cool internet site, www.cobrakai.com, all lowercase.
Poor guy. So out of touch. So stuck.
So funny.
He's got to move on.
I love that. Anyway, that's all I got. And this really does feel a lot like our Ash vs. Evil Dead coverage, where sometimes all I could think to do was repeat the lines and laugh, but there you go.
Yeah. They're funny.
Rima.
Well, that's, you guys said everything that I was going to say. It was, for me, I was surprised at how heavy it was on some of the sex stuff. Not just the dick jokes, which I do appreciate, but just kind of like all the references, you know, the Kyler's friend in the background motioning like a blowjob motion when he's talking about taking Samantha to the movies, you know, seeing like a drama girl kind of movie or something. And he's like, oh, you know what happens at the movies? And then when Daniel comes into Samantha's room and she's in the shower and he hears a message pop up on her laptop. And so he takes a peek at the message and it reads a message from Kyler, says, I want to give you something big, when he says he wants to have alone time. And Daniel's face was like, what? He's definitely reading into that.
And even when like she was trying to undo his belt to get to the necklace or whatever, and Daniel's walking in and she goes, it's so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that what?
Yeah. I mean, none of that bothers me.
Three's Company or something.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and none of that bothers me, but I think the first time I watched it, I was really taken aback, and I think Jason made a good point about that, because it's so different than The Karate Kid, which was so 80s and kind of pure and, you know, wide-eyed, and then you watch Cobra Kai, and it's still very much that, but... And also has heart,
raunchy.
But now there's raunchiness into it, which really surprised me. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're going there, because it's hard to kind of see what you know about Karate Kid and how, you know, innocent it was, and then now they're throwing in dick jokes. So I like it, but I just remember the first time I watched it, I was like, oh shit, they're going there. But I love it. It's great. I've got a filthy sense of humor, and I'm like 12 years old half the time with my humor, so I dig it.
Totally. I know. I felt the same way. And especially watching all these other politically correct shows, it's like,
refreshing.
Wow,
yeah,
here?
It's refreshing. That's what I loved about Ash versus Evil Dead too. You brought that up. That's what I you know, appreciated. I mean,
it totally did that.
Yeah. So I mean, there were other reasons to love it, but you know, that was super fun part of it too. So yeah, you guys.
Maybe this should be required viewing for people who are really uptight.
That's a good idea.
Hey, calm down, Broham. Let's have a beer and watch some Cobra Kai.
Get your headband.
It's badass.
Get your boombox. And
we could try it out.
It's badass. Don't be a pussy.
Oh my god. You know, and I think about how, like, I don't know, House Podcastica is such a mishmash of shows. It started off with Game of Thrones, and we had Handmaid's Tale in there, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's just a commentary on you know, how poorly women have been treated, and you know, how restrictive things can be with religion and all kinds of stuff like that. And it's really, you know, about all these sensitive topics that need to be treated very seriously. And I love it. You know, I actually, when season 4 comes back around, I'm going to try to come and be on a couple of episodes if Diana and Lizzie still want to podcast on it. But I'm thinking, oh, we built up an audience who are like so like into those guys, and now we're talking all these dick jokes, and I'm like, I hope people aren't just like, god, you fucking guys are so immature.
Hopefully, wow, they really went downhill.
Yeah, if they really, yeah, exactly. Oh well. Write in and let us know the truth. I want to hear it.
I don't tell me.
You don't tell.
I already know I'm immature, and so it's fine. Right. Listen to Strange Indeed.
Anyway,
you'll
hopefully
learn.
You can appreciate. I mean, I love both those shows, so hopefully there's other people like that out there. You do too, right, Rima? You like Handmaid's Tale?
Oh yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Even though it's hard to watch.
Yeah, it's hard to watch, difficult watch for sure, but I think it's important to watch and get through it. So yeah, it's all about balance, man. Balance.
Right. Balance is key.
Right.
That's very wise. All right, let's get into our number two. Richard?
Number two, I had Miguel. I like the development of Miguel's character. It's like, is he cool? Is he going to stay all innocent? Or is he going to become an asshole, kind of like Johnny? You know, it's like, oh, which way are we going to go here? I hope not. I like how the character of Miguel is kind of clueless, you know, like most kids, and innocent still, and obviously malleable.
Eager.
Mm-hmm.
And eager and willing, yeah. But it makes me nervous that he's going to turn out to be like another like a Kyle, you know, just another jerk.
Yeah.
And in the last episode, episode 4, episode 3, we're introduced to his mom and his grandma, which was cool. So you get a little bit of background there. And like we talked about earlier, McGill's grandma totally seems to have a better grip on teenage reality than his mom. His mom's just trying to be all protective and stuff, you know.
That's how she you says. Do that, though. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, grandma was like,
with your daughters, are you more? If you don't mind getting a little personal, do you try to be more realistic about stuff like that, or do you ever find yourself being overprotective?
I was overprotective when they were little girls, you know, because they're little girls and they're cute and sweet and innocent. I feel like you kind of have to protect them, especially from predators anyways, but now they're adults, they're 20 and 21, and it's like, yeah, you guys are on your own. I'll give you some advice, I'll give you some wisdom, but yeah, you know, don't do this, and that's about all I can tell you.
Hope you raised them right and sent them on their way.
Yeah, and cross your fingers, huh? And, so... I was really getting into Miguel there for a little bit. Like, yeah, this is fun. This is going to be cool. See how he turns out.
Yeah.
I like Miguel. I think the actor's really good and the character's very, very appealing right now. Super cool.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to see, you know, you root for him. He's new. He's being bullied. He's eager. He's talented. And he... You know, if he would have ended up with Mr. Miyagi, he would have just been another Daniel LaRusso. But he ends up with Johnny, who you are also rooting for, and you see that he's got some potential there, but it's not so simple. And so, yeah, like you're saying, you're also a little worried, like, how's this going to turn out? I mean, it's a heartwarming story. You can tell that they're both good for each other in some ways, but I don't know if Johnny's going to be so good for him.
Right. Yeah, and his relationship with Johnny is pretty good, too. I like the back and forth they have, especially Miguel kind of doling out some wisdom about, like, how to promote the place and find more.
Yeah. Did you try advertising?
For the dojo. Yeah, have you thought about all the web? Yeah, duh, of course.
Do kids still say duh? I know that's a total 80s thing.
No, they say neck.
Nick.
Like, if you say something stupid, they say, Nick, that was Nick.
Oh, man.
I remember asking for a long time, I go, what the hell does Nick mean? And finally some kid was like, you know, like when you get slapped on the back of the neck for doing something stupid. And I'm like, oh, no, okay. But oh.
Oh, gosh. I talk about out of touch. I have not heard that at all. But my kid's older, so I guess that's why I haven't heard that.
It's regional, too. Oh, you know, I noticed that. I've taught in two different towns.
Yeah.
And in one town, they'll say one thing, and in another town, they'll say something else,
that's
too.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, we used to say stuff was bad. They don't say that when it was good. And we'd say face when someone embarrassed themselves.
Facial tissue.
Yeah. A whole bunch of stuff like that.
Hey, what the hell? What the hell does that mean?
Anyways. Where are we? It's my turn, right? So Karate Kid tropes and callbacks, which may become a regular feature for this podcast. I don't know. But there's always the thing about the mom asking the kid how he was hurt. You know, first mom asks Miguel how he hurt his hand, which kind of played on that trope. But then it turned into a jerk off joke, which is really funny. And then later she asks, you know, who beat him up? And that reminded me of when Daniel's mom made him take his sunglasses off so she could see his eyes. And then, oh, do you want to stay home from school and all that? Miguel wants to learn how to kick, which is kind of like Daniel wanting to learn how to punch. You know, he's eager.
Right.
Daniel, I like that Daniel, they've really captured his personality and projected it forward as an adult. Like when he's looking at his daughter's computer and he starts reading the texts, and then his wife comes in and he like closes it really quick. And she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I was just checking the Wi-Fi. What do you want for dinner? I'm thinking about making my broccoli rob. Is Shark Tank on tonight? It just totally sounds like something, you know, the young Daniel would say. Just he's quick with his mouth, you know?
From Jersey.
Yeah. Right. And then, you know, even like we've kind of alluded to, they've taken him down a notch or two. He's a little maybe self-righteous, pretty overbearing sometimes. Like maybe he feels like he's morally superior and just slightly, but I think that works really well since he was the hero in the first movies. And this is how you would take that too far, that sometimes when you've had a lot of success, then you can, you know, let it go to your head. And like when he's overbearing with his daughter and she doesn't even want to talk to him. Turns out he's right about Kyler. And also his relationship with his son. I mean, his son is really fucking annoying, I think, but also the way that he treats it, though, like he sees him making the pancake taco with whipped cream and he's all, come on, dude, seriously? Like, he's just really disdainful of that kid. And it makes me wonder, well, maybe that's part of the reason why the kid turned out that way. I don't know. Also, you guys mentioned when we covered Karate Kid that he's a hothead, and I thought about that more. I'm like, yeah, you're right. There are times where he just flies off the handle, and when he kicks the guy's boba out of his hand, that's that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
the same Daniel as we saw as a kid.
Yeah.
Right.
I like they've maintained some of that.
Yeah. 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 I always love when it feels like they have a good handle on characters in shows. It's just feel, oh yeah, that's good. That's good. What else? When Johnny took Miguel to the high school to teach him how to kick, that's like the whole trope of the teacher using creative out of the box methods of teaching, only because it's Johnny, it's like super fucked up.
Right.
The dance, you know, like Daniel's chaperoning the dance and saying, you won't even notice me, I'll be a ghost, is kind of a callback to when he wanted to go to the dance in Karate Kid, but wanted to be invisible. So Miyagi made him that shower costume, and Miguel's either mom or grandma or both making him a costume is a callback to Miyagi making Daniel the shower one, only this one really sucked. So then Johnny does him up with a skeleton costume, which is also kind of a callback to that. Your guru made you a costume, but then it's also a callback to Johnny's own skeleton costume in high school. And that's where it's like super cool. Like, oh yeah, this is what you get when you have a Cobra Kai for a guru, that you get the coolest costume around. And so it's really neat how they twist things around and mix it all up. So you have different feelings about it. But then when Daniel sees Miguel in the skeleton costume, it's like he gets all tense.
He's got PTSD again.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
When Miguel overhears Kyler say he was giving Sam a cheap fake bracelet, basically to get her in bed in the bathroom scene, and then he has a confrontation with all of them, and one of you says, you're going to pay. That's a line right out of Karate Kid. And then they start kicking him and whacking him with the lacrosse stick, which is brutal. Like that fight at the fence that night.
That would have hurt.
Yeah. He was hitting him hard.
Yeah. That's brutal. And then, later when they attack him at the, library, one of Kyler's friends says, I think he's going to cry. Just like one of the Cobra Kai said about Daniel. Let's see. Allie. They had a lot of Allie references.
Daniel's they showed her girlfriend. Picture, huh?
Yeah, when Johnny's at the school and he's looking at her picture holding a... Was that a rugby footy? Rugby ball that she had? I don't know. Maybe it was just football.
I think it was a football, but I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, and
I
then
thought it was football.
Then... They say the guidance counselor says she can't believe Daniel and Allie broke up. Now that guidance counselor looks like one of Allie's friends, so I don't know if it's supposed to be the same girl.
I looked it up trying to figure out who she was, because Daniel said, "Oh, Counselor Blatt or whatever her name was, her and I go way back, and she seemed to know him from school, and she knew him and Allie when they were together." I looked it up, and someone said that she is the sister of one of Allie's friends, like that girl from the golf and stuff or whatever that was in Karate Kid that he and Allie went to.
The sassy one.
Yeah, her friend. They're saying it was her sister, which seems kind of a stretch. I don't know, but that's what, in an interview or something.
Well, do you remember when they were at the beach and Daniel just got the shit beat out of him and he's on the ground barely being able to breathe, and Allie's like, are you okay? And this one girl goes, it's better if we leave him alone. Just leave him alone. I think it might be her. They look similar anyway. But I don't know. If it is her, she's uncredited in Karate Kid because it wasn't listed on IMDb.
Mm. She seems to have a crush on Daniel. She certainly wanted to see him in his karate gi.
Yeah, she's
crushing him. That's true. The dude at the auto dealer that kind of has a mouth is Louis LaRusso Jr. That's Daniel's cousin and presumably the son of Uncle Louie that he mentions to the old one with the dog when he first gets to the apartment in Karate Kid. I got an Uncle Louie. Oh, Louie Martini. No, Louie LaRusso. He makes Bananarama chocolate chip pancakes, which is kind of a meta reference to Bananarama Cruel Summer. And what else? Oh, he tells Tom Cole that he was the 2-time All-Valley Karate Champ, which we saw in Karate Kid, the first movie, and Karate Kid 3. So that makes me think, well, I guess he didn't do any more tournaments after that.
Hmm. Interesting.
So those are the ones I found. I mean, this show is just packed. That's why I knew we could do a podcast about the show, because there's just so much stuff like that
to
tease out.
I love it when they do that, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you were paying attention. I didn't catch some of those.
Well, and there was the line my mom used to drive me on dates, you know, when Sam was not thrilled about him chaperoning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it helps when you watch a movie 47 times.
Does it?
What's your number two?
My number two, it kind of leans into a little bit about what Richard was talking about with Miguel and kind of talking a little bit also about his relationship with Johnny. And I'm really liking this episode where, you know, Johnny has a sense he's misguided, and that's affecting how he's now in, like, to this mentoring relationship with Miguel. And you can see how loyal Miguel is, you know, when Johnny keeps getting called a loser. He's like, he's not a loser, he's my sensei. And how upset he is when his mom is, you know, telling him, you know, no more karate, and he's like, no, sensei, Cobra Kai, never die. And so I love seeing that relationship with them. But, you know, seeing how, you know, Johnny learned from Kreese, and that totally warped his ideals and philosophy on fighting, and he's now passing that on to Miguel. And he ends up getting hurt because of it. And it shows a really big contrast to how Mr. Miyagi taught Daniel, you know, instead of, you know, teaching, like, Mr. Miyagi taught, you know, defense first before he taught him how to punch. And Johnny's doing, like, the opposite of that. And I think you can just kind of see how it's kind of going in the wrong way and how it's kind of, you know, molding Miguel. And like you said, it's real interesting to kind of see which way is he going to go, because he's so eager to learn, and he hasn't had a dad in his life, and he's kind of really kind of attached himself to Johnny. And, you know, it's like, oh, this
is a great man.
Yeah, a great man. And then he's passed out with open beer laid out on his floor, you know, from kind of being hungover. But I think what's kind of interesting is that I think Miguel's kind of good for Johnny, because I think he's kind of being a good influence on Johnny. You can kind of see, you know, Johnny's, I think you can kind of see those cracks a little bit. I feel like he's trying to.
He has Rad on his phone.
Yeah. Hey.
That was so touching.
Finally discovered 80s
rock. You could
tell
he was so touched.
Exactly.
Yeah. I went down a rabbit hole. Johnny's like, oh,
yeah,
you're my son.
And he's really starting to see how loyal he is to him, and how, like, when he goes and tries to help him
helpful.
With advertising, you know, to get his friends to join, you know, the dojo so he can keep learning. He wants to keep learning karate, and he knows he can't if he has to close the dojo. So he's, you know, trying to get his friends to join, and he's helping him with advertising and, you know, and
website.
Yeah. And I love seeing that relationship, because I really think Miguel's a great influence for Johnny, which I think is something he never had. And he sees how Miguel looks up to him. And then, of course, you know, that kind of comes into play.
He wants to live
son.
Up to it.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
I love all that.
Yeah. I think that, cause I was trying to think why, if, you know, it's revealed that, you know, his ex-wife says, you weren't even there from day one. You didn't, you know, who was there to fix his broken bones or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's been absent for a long time, and he's just now coming back into Robbie's life. And in part, that's just because the school keeps calling him. And I think maybe Robbie giving them his number is a cry for help. You know, I'm with my dad. But anyways, I feel like maybe another reason why Johnny is suddenly interested in Robbie is that Miguel has sort of woken up that father impulse in him. Mm-hmm. But Robbie is so disdainful of Johnny that he, especially when he gave him that dig of, what did he say? Something about Daniel, like, you know, you wish he could be as successful as your old pal Daniel or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that's what made Johnny go, all right, fuck, you just do what you want. And then he went back and convinced Miguel's mom to let him do karate because, and when he was look in the restaurant, like the ice cream store, looking wistfully at the little kid and his dad, he just like wants to be Robbie's dad, I think, but that's not happening. So Miguel, who he's, as he says, is the only one who hasn't given up on him, is kind of like a surrogate son for him. And it's just a really, it's a really sweet story. And you know, I also want to say, like, we've talked about how maybe Johnny's not so great for Miguel and Miguel mistakenly thinks he's great, but I'm sure, you know, Miguel actually senses that there is something there that's positive and that, you know, could be good.
Yep.
Yeah. And Johnny's doing the only thing he knows, strike first.
Yeah.
Strike hard.
Well, he didn't have, you know, his, I mean, we don't know what happened to his real dad. We just learned, or we just like met his stepdad. You know, we didn't see him in Karate Kid, but we met him in Cobra Kai, and he didn't seem to have such a great relationship with him. Seems like, you know, he only wanted his mom. He didn't want to have to deal with her brat of a kid, too. So, you know, he didn't learn how to be a dad. And then when, you know, someone like Kreese comes into his life who he feels, you know, probably kind of made him feel important and that he cared about him, but really he didn't. And that's all he knows. And I mean, it's, I don't know. It's hard to kind of blame him for how he turned out. He doesn't know anything different. I mean, he does have a choice. You can still make choices in life, but you know, it's, he, you know, if you haven't learned or haven't seen it and experienced it for yourself, it's hard to kind of know what to do and or think that you're not going to be good at it. Probably scared the shit out of him knowing that he's going to be a dad, and he's like, I didn't have a good dad, I don't know how to be a dad, and probably, you know, scared the hell out
of him. Ready for it.
But yeah, so I mean, not that it's an excuse to not be in your kid's life or anything, but you know, it's
what happens.
I understand it, so yeah.
But I mean, Daniel even confronts him. He's like, you know, after how Kreese treated you, I can't believe you would continue on like this. And Johnny's like, well, I'm not Kreese. So I guess he thinks, you know, there's some good in the Cobra Kai methods as long as you're not an asshole like Kreese. And that's where he's probably a bit misguided, but maybe mm-hmm. that's just where he's coming from, you know?
Thinking he can do it better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like a bad dad show. That's what this show is.
Bad fathers. And then because Miyagi's dead, and so they're all aimless and lost. Our friend Dan, he started Taekwondo when he was, I think, 5 or 7 years old, and had the same teacher until he was, I think, in his 20s.
Nice.
And I remember, you know, he really looked up to that teacher, and he was like a father figure to him. And I remember his real dad kind of bristled at that, you know, like it was a bit of a competition, or not, you know, between the two of them. Like sometimes his dad would make up reasons for him not to go or stuff like that. So that was an interesting dynamic there.
Mm. Yeah.
Anyway, whose turn is it?
Richard, I just
go number two. No, number one,
number
right?
Number one.
Yeah.
Number one was when Samantha realizes that Kyle is a jerk. I was happy when she realized he was a jerk, and because I was getting tired of Kyle. He reminds me of all the like negative stereotypes that I have about teenagers, and I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
But at least now we don't have to suffer through watching this knucklehead be a jerk, and he kind of becomes, you know, like a solid villain now. You know, you kind of see where he's at.
Yeah, I was proud that because she's this kind of character who she's really a good person, you can tell, but she's hanging out with the mean girls. So there's a strike against her kind of while they're dissing on her friend. Mm-hmm. And then she's with the boyfriend who's secretly an asshole. So at least when she realized or overheard what her boyfriend really is, then she broke up with him. So that was good.
Yeah. So I was happy to see that Kyle is out of Samantha's life. Well, not out of her life, but out of her pants.
Yeah, and out of her head, basically.
Do you think that he was really just going to give her that necklace?
I think he really wanted to give her Daniel something else. That was just his way in.
That was his excuse. Mm-hmm. Huh?
I think so, because what kind of a move is that? Like, here, let me give you something. Open my belt. It's my penis.
Ta-da!
But on the other hand, it was pretty lame in the theater when she pushed him off, and then so he's all, oh, let me try this, and just starts running his hand up her leg. Like, that was, like, obviously it's not going to do anything but
make
her...
Pretty lame.
And she did a little karate on him, which is pretty cool.
That's some good self-defense moves.
Yeah.
She's been taught
that was cool.
Well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's see. My number two is sort of, you mentioned bad guys and good guys. So it's interesting. These two episodes are more about the kids than the first two.
Yeah.
I like it better when it's about the adults, but it was cool. So there's an interesting array of types. There's all, you know, there's a lot of bullying going on, which Rima, you talked about last week, and bad influence and the importance of strong parental figures and stuff like that. So I was just thinking about all the kids. So Sam, or at least some of the main ones, she seems like a good kid who is getting in with a bad crowd in different ways. But luckily, when she realized Kyler was a dick, she dropped him. Anthony, her brother, is just straight up annoying. And I wonder if they're going to flesh him out a little bit more and give him a storyline and not just have him be annoying.
Yeah, he's a dumbass.
Robbie, you know, it was like we see him doing tech support and he just seems like a nice kid, but it turns out it's a scam and he's going to sell the computer. And then his friends tell him, because he says, I already got four people who say they'll pay $400 with it. Oh, we'll just charge them all half and then sell it to the first one who shows up. I'm like, well, why not just say you have a computer and charge everybody half and then never show up? You don't need to steal a computer first. But anyway, this kid, now he's skipping school
That's
for
terrible.
A month. Like he's the worst. And this is just a personal opinion, but I just don't like this kid's mannerisms. He's got weird mannerisms. Hopefully the actor's not listening. If you are, you did a good job of playing a kid that's annoying. And he's got his like late 90s Leonardo DiCaprio haircut.
Yeah. Not digging that at all.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. Hopefully they can make me like this kid. But right now he's just seems like a annoying troublemaker, and I do feel bad for him that his father was never around, and you can see that.
Well, his mom apparently isn't much
his
either.
Mom's a drunk who doesn't give a shit about him. Yeah, so you got to have empathy for that. Kyler is just straight up bad for now, anyway. For a show that is about fleshing characters out, he's just like the Johnny Lawrence of this from the original Karate Kid of this show so far, anyway. Right. Aisha is Sam's friend that she doesn't have time for anymore. She just seems really good and she's being bullied. Dimitri's the super nerdy dude who's a little annoying but seems harmless.
And he's got some pretty funny lines.
Yes. And he's just there to get bullied so far. Eli, it seems like a good kid, and he's super being bullied. He's the one that has the lip.
Facial deformity.
Yeah, facial deformity. Miguel, we've talked a lot about, but he's just really good and maybe has a not so great influence. Yasmin is the leader of the mean girls, the blonde girl. She's just seems bad, a bully. And then her friend Moon is, I swear they're modeled right after the mean girls. So she's not too bright. Seems fine. I mean, she kind of goes along with Yasmin, so that's not so great, but she doesn't really instigate it as far as I can tell so far. So those are kind of the main ones. And I just think it's interesting that they got a mix of, good hearted and not so good hearted kids in there to mix it up with each other.
Yeah. Just like high school.
Yeah. Exactly. And kids who have room to grow and might grow, and some who might never change, and et cetera, et cetera.
Right. And some that transform.
Rima?
Well, my number one was mostly about the bullying part of it. I thought that they gave a pretty good representation of what bullying is like. I mean, bullies are bullies across, you know, whether it's the 80s or 90s or like today. That hasn't changed much, but it has changed in like now there's social media and there are, you know, everybody has a camera phone. And, you know, I thought they did a good job of representing what that's like now for kids. And I think it can be slightly more cruel, you know, today.
Or way more, yeah.
Because, yeah, you know, now they can take these videos of you and pass them around to the entire school. And then they said that this video that they did of Aisha at the Halloween dance went viral. So now it's even out there even more and she's getting made fun of.
And kids kill themselves over this stuff.
Yeah, and say that it's really serious stuff, that constant bullying and how these videos get posted on YouTube and, you know, all the social media platforms. Yeah, kids harm themselves because of things like that. And so I think they did a really good representation of what that's like. And, you know, the whole mean girl thing where they're fat shaming her and then they do the viral video. And then Eli, you know, gets made fun of his, you know, his lip and stuff. And he seems like a pretty good kid, keeps his head down and he still gets picked on. And then he gets called out in front of, you know, the entire group, you know, when they're all, and I thought it was kind of funny. Not that the bullying was funny, but when they're in there getting the lecture about the bullying, all the kids are on their phones. They're not paying attention, taking it seriously at all. That's so pretty much what happens today. And I was kind of disappointed in Sam. I mean, I know that after she discovered what Kyler did when she overheard what happened in the library, I wish she had not went out on the date with him, because I was like, why are you still going out on this date with him? Because if I had heard that, I would have been like, I would have confronted him immediately and been like, what the hell is your problem and what was that all about? And I would have dumped him immediately. But she still went out on that date with him. I mean, I guess we wouldn't have got to see how she, you know, pretty much kicked his ass, you know, when he kept forcibly putting his hands on her. And after she told him no, that was satisfying. He definitely deserved that. But I was kind of disappointed in her, and I'm disappointed in her that she still hangs out with those girls, that she knows that her friend Yasmin took that video and passed it around and she's still hanging out with them. And it's just, I'm not okay with that. I don't like that. I don't like those kinds of girls. And I just, it disappoints me a little bit. That she's, you know, not sticking up for her friend more.
When you were in high school, would you have, if you thought about hanging out with some friends and then you saw them do that, you would have just been, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't into the mean girls thing at all. There was definitely, I never got bullied like that, but I definitely, when I moved to a bigger school and there were cliques, because my little small school that I went to, there were no cliques. We were just all friends. And so it was very weird to me to go to a school where there were cliques. There was like the jocks and the preppy popular girls. And, you know, and I'm this, you know, kid wearing black t-shirts and ripped up jeans. And they're all looking at me like, whoa. So, you know, I didn't get bullied or anything about it, but I definitely kind of experienced a little bit of the looks that mean girls give you for not dressing the same or dressing a certain way. That they do, but I was never trying to like, well, it's just easier. Because I think some girls see it's easier to be a part of the mean girl group because you're not being bullied or made fun of. Yeah, so it's easier to be a part of it than it is to be on the outside of it.
Yeah, and if you're accepted in, then it's like, oh, thank God I'm saved and I get to be on the top instead of the bottom.
Yeah. And well, yeah, I mean, you want to be popular and you don't want to be a target of the mean girls. Yeah. So you become a member of the mean girls. But I was not about that. I was never about being any kind of clique. I was never in any kind of group. I was like my own person and, you know, had my own friends and just, you know, and it all kind of evened itself out after a little while. But that's kind of the way it was at first. I would have never put up with any of that.
Thanks.
And I always stood up for my friends.
Would you say we were in, Rich? Do you think we'd have a label?
I don't know. We were kind of in no man's land.
See? Exactly.
I mean, we were all band geeks. So
you were
we were band geeks.
But we weren't really treated like band geeks. I don't know. Maybe we just had a cool school.
You know, I think in part that's because the whole 4 years we were there, our football team won 4 games total and our band was nationally ranked. So it was a little like topsy-turvy at our school. And even with that, I still did feel a little bit like we were looked down on as the band geeks, but not nearly as much because we were renowned across the nation. So it's a little different.
But you know, we didn't.
Some of our band guys were actually on the football team too. That probably helped a little bit.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know, we had a pretty good band, and you know, we didn't. I mean, we would give them a hard time and call them band geeks or something, but we didn't. They were not treated poorly or anything. They were in band, so you know. Mm.
I mean, me and Richard and Danny, our friend Dan that I mentioned earlier, and our other friend Tim, we were all friends before we were ever in band, I think, and then we all joined band together. So maybe that's why it felt a little different than just being band geeks. I don't know. Anyway, I'm getting too far down this road that nobody gives a shit about. So where are we now? Rima, you did your number one?
Yeah, I was just finishing on my number one. Yep.
Okay. You know, bullying, I noticed Johnny got bullied just a little bit too when he was trying to pass his flyers out, and the guys playing basketball made fun of his headband, and then he takes it off in shame.
I had that in my number one, and I forgot to mention that. Yeah, he kind of experienced it just a little bit himself, kind of being, you know, called out for being outdated and out of touch. And
But I was also glad to see that he still had the touch when he confronted Robbie and his friends. And I forgot, one of his friends had some smart ass comment to him. What's that? Your school
what's
or whatever.
Box? And what's a boombox?
He goes, what's that on your face? What's a mustache?
That's a mustache.
I was like, yeah.
That's when we cheer for Johnny. That's go. Yes.
Exactly. All right. Any other extra random notes or anything, Rich?
You know, at the end when Samantha comes out of her room, and after she realized Kyle was a jerk and Dad was right the whole time and everything was fine, and it was a beautiful morning, and says, aren't you going to make those Bananarama pancakes? I noticed his kitchen. Did you see his kitchen?
Nice kitchen.
That was a badass kitchen, man.
I wouldn't mind having that kitchen, yeah.
Oh, man, he had a professional grade stuff in there. I thought that was cool.
That oven, that stove, I would die for that.
How did Johnny, you know what, I had a question. How did Johnny climb up to that billboard?
He looked pretty
drunk,
too.
To deface that property.
That was a pretty good, he was that pretty wasted. Good depiction of a big dick. For being half lit like he was and being able to make that climb,
it's
you're
not
right.
That hard to draw.
stand up.
What I didn't get, I mean, I guess some of his flyers dropped while he was up there, but what about the dog shit? Like, I didn't get that part.
It wasn't
dog they said,
shit.
They said, how did a dog get up here anyways? They didn't. It was Johnny.
Somebody, a person took a shit up there. Yeah. I don't know if it was Johnny, but somebody
did. My God. Well, it must have been, right? Dang, the show is edgy. Anything else, Rich?
I thought it was pretty funny how at the high school during the dance, when Johnny was putting up his flyers, he put his Cobra Kai poster over the poster that said, don't be a bully. He's hilarious. Just smiling as he does it.
That's funny.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Okay.
For me, there was one other one too. When Robbie was this cracked me up. When Robbie was posing as a computer fix-it guy, and he asked for the guy's password, and he's all password. Mm-hmm. The number one password that you should never have is password.
Mm-hmm. The only other one I had was just that. The last scene, Daniel learns it was Johnny who painted the dick, and he's all pissed off. And I'm like, yep, that's how you continue this show. Just give these two guys reasons to be pissed off at each other.
Yep, keep that rivalry going.
Are they going to fight now?
Yeah, right. Fight up on the billboard. That'd be cool. Rima, any other notes?
I just have a couple of just quick one-liners. This show, I think, is so great with the one-liners and throwaway lines. I like in the beginning when Johnny asks Miguel, hey, you got any friends that want to learn karate? And he's like, wait, what am I talking about? You don't have any friends. And then when he, just the way he says it, it's just, I love Johnny in this. He's just he's so damn funny. And I just love that. And then when he approaches the basketball players with a flyer and he's like, hey, kicks get chicks. I don't know why, it just made me giggle so much. So I had to call that out as well. Other than that, we've already talked about the rest of my notes. So that's it.
Cool. Awesome. That was fun. Let's take a little break. There's more to come. Stay with us.
When everything is turned to black, you don't know where to go. You need something to justify yourself. Silence is a broken, confidence is gone. When everything you're holding on to falls.
News. Couple items this week. So first one that we have is from Variety.com. We finally got the news that Cobra Kai is leaving YouTube Premium and they have now landed at Netflix. Yay!
Netflix, nice.
Yeah, maybe we should have mentioned that at the top. Yeah, so people who are not sure, or there's probably a bunch of people who are like, God damn it, I just paid for YouTube Red. But anyways... Go on.
Yeah, so it's super exciting. So for the third season, it will be at Netflix. So it sounds like under terms of the deal, the first two seasons of the series will be available on Netflix later this year. But we don't yet have a premiere date for season three. They do plan to announce it at a later date. So I guess stay tuned for that. We'll stay on top of that once I'm sure everything is settled and we hear that. Because I'm guessing it sounds like I think they've already filmed, right? Maybe it's already done, so maybe
that's
it's not
I
pushed
read,
back.
But it was sort of iffy. I mean, okay. Yeah, I was sort of hoping that when we came out with this, that season three would come out, you know, maybe right as we were finishing up season two. That would be mm-hmm. ideal. We could just go right into it. But who knows, man? They didn't even say this year, so they could be holding it for next year for some reason. I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not.
What are they waiting for?
Man, 2020 needs some Cobra Kai, some new Cobra Kai. I think that's just what we need right now. And that's what makes doing a rewatch of 1 and 2 fun, because it's been a shit year. So, but yeah, it sounds like they're really excited at Netflix. Brian Wright, who's the vice president of Netflix, says, you know, the appeal of Karate Kid saga is timeless and Cobra Kai picks up right where it left off without missing a beat. He says the rivalry between Daniel and Johnny is one for the ages and the show has a ton of heart and is a lot of fun. And we can't wait to introduce a new generation of fans to Cobra Kai and are thrilled to be its new home around the world. And, you know, we've talked about it and it really surprises me. I think, Jason, when you were, you know, kind of dancing around the idea of doing a podcast on Cobra Kai and people were like, what is that? Was that very good? And we were like, what? Are you kidding me? It was got huge numbers. So it was incredibly popular when it debuted. The first season scored a 100% critical approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes and season two got an 88% rating. Not as great, but still really darn good, especially for a second season. So
yeah, well, there was one person who was saying, oh, don't you want to aim for a big audience? And I'm like, well, Cobra Kai got watched by 88 million people or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, and he was like, you should do Better Call Saul, which I love Better Call Saul, but that had like 1.5 million or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
88. That's like Super Bowl numbers, man.
Exactly.
Yeah. No kidding.
So yeah. Cool. What else?
So next item that I have to just have two this week. So this one is from entertainmentweekly.com. So today we got our first look at the Handmaid's Tale season 4 trailer. And they haven't announced an official date, but they did say that season 4 will arrive on Hulu next year. So
yeah, I'm guessing early next year, but Who knows?
I hope so. Seems like forever since we had season 3. Of course, it always feels that way. But really enjoy Handmaid's Tale. And like you mentioned earlier, you know, Haas Podcast has covered Handmaid's Tale. So hopefully they'll decide to do that again for season 4. I would love to guest on there myself.
Yeah.
Feel very passionately about that show. So
I think Diana and Lizzie want to cover it, but I'm not, you know, 100% sure. I'm pretty close to 100% sure that we'll cover it one way or another. I mean, if it has to be you and me, then we'll just do it.
Okay.
But I think they want to come back. So then if they do,
that'd
then
be great.
You and I can just guest occasionally or something.
Yeah, they did a great job. So that'd be awesome. So yeah. Everyone go look for that. I know it's everywhere out there today. It's on YouTube and it's all over. If you just want to Google it and check it out. If you want to watch trailers, some folks don't like to watch the trailers. They want to stay spoiler free. That's fine. So yeah.
It's a pretty quick one.
Yeah.
A minute and a half or something.
Yeah. All right. That's all I got.
Sweet. All right. Let's get into listener feedback. Rich?
We got a response from Dublino Bob Grippy. He says, started rewatching season one and went through 10 seasons, like snap that. Daniel's father died when he was young. When Daniel is consoling Miyagi in part two, after his father dies, Daniel shares that info with him. Pretty profound. Heartstrings pulled.
So he's responding to us, I think, saying we weren't sure what happened to Daniel's father, but apparently in Karate Kid 2, it was revealed that his father died when he was young, I guess.
Mm, yeah. He also says, never for one second do I buy that Robbie is Johnny's son. Mm-hmm. And the guy who plays Kyler plays him good. A bully that is dumb.
Yep.
True.
Alicia Stout says, Bananarama pancakes. Oh, I love that. Hashtag cruel summer.
And then here's the call from Steve Brown, where we get to see if he started to come around on these two episodes, which I think he watched before he heard our podcast on the first two. So we'll see. Also, he told me, Rich, that he apologized for calling you Chris in this call. So here we go.
Oh, that's okay.
Hey, Jason, Rima, and Chris. This is Steve. This is for Cobra Kai, episodes 3 and 4. I think I'm back in, maybe. I don't know. It was really... episode 3 didn't grab me as much as episode 4 did. I was still, you know, struggling episode 3 with kind of who to root for and where the story is going, but... I did like some of the callbacks in episode 3 to the original movie, and I love how they briefly mentioned Allie and Elizabeth Shue, so that was really great. But I have to admit, in episode 4, when Johnny goes there at the end to Miguel's apartment and appeals to his mom, I got choked up a little bit because I really like that it looks like he's trying to do better. But of course, we had that scene. Obviously, this was in episode 3 as well, why I had my misgivings about it. The whole water training, kicking thing where he almost drowned the kid. And so, you know, I'm still kind of back and forth on it. And then episode 4 kind of helped give me some sympathy towards Johnny, seeing that he's just – I feel like he's just really living in the past of that one failure that he had that seems to, like – that one loss of not winning the tournament that year has like affected his whole entire life. And I just can't identify with that, with one action, doing that and changing your whole life or causing everything to go. And he's still, it seems like he's still kind of training in the crease kind of method, which is still about dragging down, not lifting up. So, that's kind of my take, but I'm glad that Sam got to see Kyler's kind of true self, and I did catch the preview for the next episode, so it looks like she's going to have some blowback on that. But can't wait to hear what you guys thought. Talk to you later.
Yeah,
it does seem a little unrealistic that something that happened 40 years ago, 35 years ago,
yeah,
would have such a huge impact. I mean, it can happen, but it's also just because, I mean, these are the sequels to those movies, and that's what happened. Say,
it's all consuming.
We've got to have, you know, a story to repeat after 30 years. But, I mean, you know, to carry on that long, maybe it's a bit of a stretch, but I see at least it's somewhat believable, because, I mean, karate was Johnny's life, and he was a superstar, and that is what defined him. And he had this... You know, he was beaten, you know, by this new kid who should not have been able to beat him. His father figure, Kreese, you know, who he looked up to and was loyal to. Look what he did to him. All of this stuff happened at this one time that just really, I think, did make an impact. I mean, he allowed it to impact him. I kind of see it a little bit. I mean, it's a little bit of a stretch to carry on that long, but...
He's like Al Bundy with his, he was a, can't stop talking about how he's a football hero.
4 touchdowns in a game.
Al Bundy. Nice.
And I think Johnny's going to you know, if this series goes on, I think ultimately Johnny will need to get past this to grow as a person, you know. Mm-hmm. He'll have to.
Yeah, it's totally.
A little late in life,
he's really
maybe,
down on
but...
himself this. Yeah, yeah, but hey, it's never too late.
No,
and
it's
he's
not.
Really down on himself this episode, which is interesting, and he's resentful of Daniel for his success, so he'll have to somehow move past all that.
Yeah. You could totally do that.
You mentioned Elizabeth Shue, and I really think, you know, because the writers keep bringing up Allie, this is the first time, but they bring her up more as the series goes on, that I'm really hoping that Elizabeth Shue has agreed to be in season 3. You know, that'd be cool.
Man, that's gonna throw a fire under the barrel.
I feel like she's gonna have to, just with the whole thing between, you know, Johnny and Daniel. I mean, I feel like eventually that's gonna happen. And you know, she's still acting, she's still out there. She was in season 1 of The Boys, and that was really awesome.
Right.
And
yeah, I mean, I thought maybe she's too big of a star to be in Karate Kid, but then she was in The Boys, and Karate Kid has more viewers than The Boys, so I'm like, oh, come on, do it.
Yeah, well, I heard that's what, I read that's what why she wasn't in the first 2 seasons, because she was doing The Boys.
Mm. Did you guys both watch that?
Yes.
Yeah, that was
really
cool.
Great. Loved it.
Next on House Podcastica, The Boys. I thought it was damn good.
Yeah.
All right. That is our show. Thank you for listening, everybody. Hope you're enjoying our Cobra Kai coverage.
And dick jokes.
And dick jokes every week, right here. If you want to write in your own dick jokes or record a dick message and send it in, you can send that to waxonwaxoff@podcastica.com.
We also
the joke itself.
Yeah, wax on, wax off. We also put up a post for each week's episode on our Facebook page at facebook.com/housepodcastica.
And be sure to check out the other great podcasts at podcastica.com.
Are you still doing your Black Mirror stuff?
Yeah, I just recorded one last night with Paik. So yeah, that'll hopefully come out. White Christmas.
Ooh, that's a popular one.
Very popular one, and a really good one too. So yeah, hopefully get out in the next few days.
I just recorded a 2-hour Last of Us 2 podcast with Mr. Blog for Walking Dead Cast. I need to edit it and get it published.
Wow.
Yeah.
And next on this podcast, Cobra Kai Season 1, Episodes 5 and 6, Counterbalance and Quiver. All right, that's our show.
Thanks for listening.
And don't forget to check us out, Brohams, at www.housepodcastica.com, all lowercase.